Hello, my imaginary friends. SM2N here. It's Wednesday, the 26th of September, 2012. I'm Simon. This is my audio blog. I wanted to reply quickly to Acrobat and to McColgan, both of whom did booze today about iOS 6 and iPhone 5 and all these sorts of things, and earpods. Directly to Mac's question, I would say, yes, the earpods are an upgrade compared to the previous Apple iPhone headset. I think, in my opinion, the sound quality you get is better on them than the older iPhone earbuds. And I also felt that they are more comfortable in your ear because they're more shaped like ear canals. So, yeah, more, definitely an upgrade. So if you're looking to go to replace your Apple earbuds, then yes, I'd go for those. But no, not really any more noise isolating. I know Apple do their own in-ear earbuds that do the noise isolating, and there are also a thousand other people and manufacturers that do earbuds, so there are alternatives there. Ultimate Ears are the ones that I liked, so I can recommend those. If you're into the sort of noise isolating earbuds, but no, I don't think they're any quieter than the previous Apple earbuds. But I don't think they do any better at noise isolation. I broke a lot of Apple earbuds because of a lack of a case, and so I would say to you, Mac, get a little pouch of some kind to put them into. That's one of the things I like about the Ultimate Ears, is they have a little carry case where you can just kind of take the earbuds, wrap them around your fingers, until you sort of spool them up into a little reel around your fingers. Not reel. I don't know. Just spool them up around your fingers and chuck them into this little pouch, and then they're protected in your pocket. And I found that a good way to look after my earbuds and make sure I didn't lose them. Whereas if you just put them in, and it works for me also with the Apple earbuds as well. Just put them into an Ultimate Ears case or any other case that you can get hold of, and then just pop it in your pocket. I think that's well worth doing to look after your earbuds. You don't need to get big bulky headphones in order to be able to look after them. And then over to the multitasking stuff on iOS and battery life. Oh yes, I wanted to say the battery life. I'm a bit disappointed on the iPhone 5 with battery life so far. I'm not getting very good performance out of the battery life. I found myself having to charge up my iPhone 5 at lunchtime as well in order to get through the day. Which is a bit disappointing. Hopefully it's a calibration issue. I did notice that I let it run down to 1% today, so it would switch off on its own kind of thing. And it seemed to stay on 1% for about 10-15 minutes, which I was really surprised by. My iPhone 4, once it got down to 1%, it would be shutting down after about a minute or two. So I wonder whether that 1% there's actually a lot more battery life left in it. Even though it only says 1%. Likewise, at the top end, I let it charge all the way up to 100% when I charged it, and there was still, it said 100%, but on the battery icon on the lock screen, it still showed a gap. So it looked like it wasn't actually charged up. So that was a bit weird. So hopefully, if I charge it all the way up to 100% and leave it charging overnight, and then always let it run all the way down to 0%. Hopefully that will recalibrate the battery and things might be a bit better. Oh, there goes my phone. My other phone, so I better pause this recording. Right, the other thing I want to talk about was speed. Yes, speed. So I think if you've got an iPhone 4S, then I don't think you'll find the iPhone 5 to be such an amazing speed boost. If you've got an iPhone 4S, I don't think you'll find the iPhone 5 to have that much better a camera. I always think with the iPhones, the people that are on a 2-year cycle are the ones that would feel the benefit. So going from a 4 to a 5, big benefit. If you went from a 3GS to a 4S, big benefit. But yeah, I think going from a 4S to a 5 is extravagant. So, yeah. But yeah, on to what Acrobat was saying. In terms of the multitasking tray that you get on the iPhone, on iOS. Not sure multitasking is the right phrase, but we'll call it that, the multitasking tray. Very interesting what Acrobat had to say. A lot of it I agreed with and understood and matched with what I already knew. So yeah, I know that list of apps at the bottom is a mixture of apps that are kind of backgrounded and also apps that are not backgrounded, that are just you've used them in the recent past and therefore they're kept there as a little shortcut to help you find them again, just like your most recent used documents in macOS or Windows. You just have a shortcut to the most recently used documents or applications. So no, I understand it's a bit like that, but some of the apps are backgrounded in one way or another. And it was very interesting to know that apps can pretty much run for 10 minutes. I wasn't aware of that. That was really interesting to know that. I knew that there were a finite number of things that an app can do, like a download or an upload from HTTP or playing a piece of music, that they can do that in the background. But they can't run in their entirety. But no, I didn't realize they can actually run fully in their entirety for 10 minutes. So that was interesting to know. But the bit that confused me is this: with the statement that Acrobat said something about the apps that you have in that tray give you absolutely no benefit in battery life you know, performance on your iPhone if you close them all down. There's absolutely no benefit. I'm surprised by that because I thought that there's a bit of a benefit in that. Because when you background an app, when you background it, you know, when you switch away from an app in iOS, if it's built for what they call their multitasking thing, it kind of takes the image, the sort of the allocated memory for that app, and kind of puts it, preserves it in the iOS system. So that memory is, that RAM memory is still kind of allocated for that app, and that means that when you switch back to that app, the app is in the same state as it was when you left it, kind of thing. Whereas if an app was closed, or if an app that wasn't designed for multitasking, when you went back to it, it would be in the kind of the initial state. So, you know, if you had a Twitter app and you were partway through writing a tweet, when you switch back to it, it's still going to have that half-written tweet open with a cursor blinking away, kind of thing. As opposed to if you closed the app, if you, you know, press the little X to close it, when you came back to it, it would be back on the initial splash screen with a list of tweets from other people, kind of thing. And so that's my understanding. It's that there's a memory footprint that is preserved while an app is kind of in the background, and obviously there's only a finite amount of memory available to the iOS device for those kinds of images. So it does memory management on that. And my understanding is that as you keep opening up more and more apps, eventually iOS will say, "Well, I need to free up some memory." So then it will pick on the least most recently accessed app, and it will tell the app to close, and then the app will close down cleanly. So you know, an app might have a database that it uses, and iOS tells the app, "Right, you've got to close down," and that app will then close, you know, commit its changes to the database and do whatever it needs to do, but it will do some stuff to clean up after itself. It won't just get kind of killed. It will actually clean down, and that's the bit where you get the lag. So if you leave it completely to iOS to manage memory for you, then as you do more and more stuff, it will be closing down apps in the background, and they will take CPU cycles and battery
power as well, I guess, all consumed by the act of closing down an app in the background. And if, you know, if it's you're trying to do something else at the same time, then you're going to be slowed down. And you're going to feel that, you're going to perceive that slowdown. Whereas if you do what Mac does and what PVO Dave does, and go in every now and then and just empty that multitasking tray, then you are consciously closing down those apps, and you're not going to be surprised by the kind of the pause that happens when an app is being closed down. So, so yeah, there just seem to be some advantage in closing down those apps, and you know there are the Apple apps, the inbuilt apps as well. Obviously, they do multitask and run in the background for as long as they want to, I think. So again, you know, when you're closing down the apps in your multitasking tray, then you're cleaning out those apps as well and closing those down. So I think there is some benefit. It means that when you then open up that next app, you don't have this lag while it tries to free up memory by closing down another app. So no, I think there are some benefits, but that's my understanding. And Rob knows a lot more about these things. So Acrobat, I do look forward to hearing what you have to say about all of these things that I'm reporting from my from my naive perspective. But very interesting. I'm finding it a very interesting subject. So thank you both for talking about these things. Right. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourself. Speak to you again soon. Toodle-boo.